This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I encourage you to come and have a look at the board for some of these words. Am I going to set the mic off? Is it going to squeal at me if I walk over here? You're a good man. Good man, Dave. Grace drew this picture on Tuesday night. And it's from Hosea 11:10, when he roars, his children shall come. Come and have a look at it afterwards. I know you probably can't see, everyone won't be able to see it from there. That's looking pretty cool too. Another verse in Amos says, the lion has roared. If I can have the next slide, please, as. The lion has roared. So who isn't frightened? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all things. The sovereign Lord has spoken, so who can? Sorry, my phone's not working very well. Here we go. So who can refuse to proclaim his message? As I've testified before, I used to have an opinion of God that it was if I stepped out of the way, he was getting ready with a big stick, ready to give me a whack. It was almost the golf shot. He was, if I stepped out of the way, come out the driver. So I understood a fear of God like that. Until one day God said to me, the fear of the Lord isn't something that you're meant to be sitting there scared of me. The fear of the Lord is meant to drive you that you do not want to miss out on anything I've got for you. That he is so magnificent, he is so awesome, he is so powerful, he is so extraordinary that I don't want to miss out on a thing he has for me. And he's inviting us into that today. Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, standing on a stage in Israel, preaching the same message about Pentecost and the wind of the Spirit coming in that place. Just look it up on YouTube, Angus Buchan, Wind of the Spirit, you'll find it. It's amazing. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Next slide, please, as... They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Do you remember that in the Old Testament, fire went with the presence? God doesn't do anything by accident. It's all to remind and reinstate his presence with us. It's no accident. It's not just some nice statement. Verse 4. Next slide, please, Az. I'll go back one. Back one again. That's the one. Beautiful. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Next slide. I was reading this, and in my Bible, in the footnotes, it says, the sound of a violent blast of wind in Aramaic is translated like a lion roaring of a groaning spirit. The lion of Judah is roaring. In John chapter 20, verse 22... it talks about this, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. What's the significance of this? God breathing on humanity. Go back to the beginning. He formed man out of the dust. the only one of the living creatures that he breathed life into was mankind. Can you see the imagery? Formed out of the dust, taking the nostrils. And life appears. What does Scripture say? We are dead in our trespasses. That sin, the wages of sin is death. Who has overcome sin? Christ. And he wants to breathe into you and me. Romans 8:19. Next slide, please. Yeah, beautiful. As you're keeping up with me, you're doing a great job. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children are. Other versions of this say all creation is groaning. So when he pours out his spirit and he's roaring, a groaning spirit is answering the groan. He's answering the call for the sons and daughters to rise up. I encourage you, they're extraordinary. The things that happened in that period of time. People were being added to their numbers. They were feared and revered of the community with such a thing that the priests and the Levites and all the ones that were pretty angry at them didn't want to make a public scene because it was going to cause quite a stir, because Peter and John and the disciples were actually had favour with the people. See, Jesus didn't come to get favour with the religious. In fact, if you look at Scripture, the religious people really annoyed him. That's the church polite version. They really, really annoyed him because the religion was actually stopping them from having a relationship. It was more about the rules and the regulations and doing it right and looking right and me being superior to you because I could read and you can't, you little plebs. Let's be honest, that's what it was. And Jesus confronted those things. And his spirit comes, and Peter and John were filled with boldness, and they preached and they challenged the religious leaders. They said, you've got to remember that the people that were there in this place were the very ones that had stood there saying, crucify him, crucify him, got caught up in the hysteria of the crowd. And Peter and John didn't muck about. They went, you crucify the living God and you need to repent. But his forgiveness is available to you. So repent. And people were doing it one after the other after the other. Oh, to see that happen again. The religious leaders, they weren't happy. They arrested them. They beat up Peter and John. They did everything to try and stop the message of the gospel. But what happened in that moment, and this is the thing I absolutely love, instead of the church going away and running away and hiding, when Peter and John walked back in the room, they celebrated and said, let's pray more. And they went to Scripture and they said, how dare the nations plan a rebellion, ranting and raging against the Lord's Most High. Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the kings of the earth took their stand with the rulers scheming and conspiring together against God and his anointed Messiah. Bold. That God is who he says he is. He will come through. And so imagine if we as a community, if one of our members of our community, and in some place of the world this is happening at this very day, and don't be comfortable here in Australia because it's coming here too. The persecution came. What are we going to do, church? Are we going to pray harder? Are we going to unite more? Are we going to get really, really angry at the enemy for trying to rob and steal? I hope so. Because we need to go to battle together, not on our own, together. Now, I should have put this verse in, I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to quickly look for one sec. Here we go. It's in Acts 4, chapter 31. At the moment, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble. Each one was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. What was the byproduct of this unrestrained boldness? We had miracles. Acts 5, verse 12. The miracle performs many signs and wonders, so much so that if you keep reading in that passage, that the people would bring the sick out in the street, hoping that the shadow of Peter or John might drive past by. Imagine the road out here being full of people going, I want the people of MCF to walk by. Because we become so known that the power of God is so present that lives are touched. Only comes from spending time in the presence and being united in purpose and prayer. The church has been divided for too long. I'm not just talking about our church, the church. You go talk to any church leader, you talk to any denominational sort of thing, and I really hope and pray denominationalism is dead in Jesus' name, because we're one church under God. We may have different flavours and different ways we worship, but that should never keep us separated. But God is wanting to revive his church. If we're going to see the end time revival that's greater than the one that happened in Acts, we're going to have to get ready and get really comfortable with each other. We're going to have to learn how to love one another, care for one another. When someone's down, be their strength. When you're down, call out to someone else to be your strength. We need to be that for each other. And we need to walk knowing that the Holy Spirit doesn't go, oh, I'll go fill Doug up, but I'm not going to go near Amber. Doesn't happen. It's for all people. The prophecy of Joel is for old and young. It's the same Holy Spirit that wants to fill you. Can I have the last slide there of Revelation 22:17 says, come. Come, says the Holy Spirit and the bride in a divine duet. Let everyone who hears this duet join them in saying, come. Next slide, please. Let everyone gripped with a spiritual thirst say, come. And let everyone who craves the gift of living water come and drink it freely. Come. Isn't it beautiful? We don't have to earn it. We just got to come to him. It's been one of the greatest things I've learnt this week, is that we can do, try and come up with all sorts of great ideas, ways to build the church, ways to bring in his presence. And God says, I just want you to lay on the carpet. What do you mean, God? I'm not doing anything. He said, that's the point. Let me do it. Next slide, please. Can you go back to the warning ones? I've passed this by a couple of people this week. I never, ever, 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 ever want to be a pastor that beats up the sheep from the pulpit. Ever. So when I declare this, I just want you to know I'm saying this in love. But I couldn't not say it. Next slide, please. As I've said, God is roaring and breathing over his church. Next one. I'm just going to read this from here because it's the way I've written it and it might be a little bit different. So just try and follow with me where it is in the slides, please, as. The Father has shown me that he is roaring. He is roaring as the Lion of Judah. He is releasing his breath to revive his church. He is breathing life into our spirit as we join with his spirit. We cannot control this. And to do so would be at our own peril. However, you are free to choose. I believe God is giving us a warning that to reject this move of the Father, you are at risk of being like the religious leaders of Acts chapter 4. In past revivals, this has happened. Whether it be Toronto, whether it be Azusa Street, whether it be the Welsh revival, doesn't matter when God's Spirit has turned up and turned the church upside down, the religious spirit rises up in opposition and unfortunately gets into the life of the church and we start throwing rocks at each other. That can't be of God. God wouldn't make you want to laugh. Except for in Psalms 2, I think it is, says he laughs over his enemies. That's metaphorical. I grew up in an environment that used to throw stones at other churches saying, we've got more revelation. I think I've mentioned that before. Oh, it's dangerous. I don't know what this revival is going to look like because God doesn't usually do the same thing twice. But I don't think there's any revival in history that hasn't got a bit messy. Hasn't been a little bit, really, is that you, God? Because sometimes he's got to do the out there and the extreme to get our attention. And let's be honest here, in our Western church in particular, we like things to be nice and ordered and structured, and I need to know what it's all about. Even me, a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants guy, I don't like being out of control. I shared the testimony of Michelle and I rolling around the floor for about an hour and a half laughing. That was a transformative time of my life, and I'm sitting there at the pot trying to control this thing as his spirit was doing something deep in with me. And I tell you what, the more I tried, the more he goes, hey, you're going to laugh more. You're going to be stuck there longer. You can't control me. It's wild and it's free. And it doesn't always look, for some people it will mean tears, some people it will mean laughter, some people it will mean speaking in tongues, some people, and I will never be one of those people who says that if you don't, you're not fully saved unless you speak in tongues, because I don't believe that that's scriptural theology. But he does want to pour out his spirit on all people. Do we need discernment? 100% yes, we need discernment, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness and self-control. So if the things he's doing in our lives are not causing that, then it's probably a counterfeit. Will a counterfeit sometimes get in? Yes, because Judas was with Jesus. Even Jesus had a traitor and he was the Son of God and never sinned. We just need wisdom. But we've got to remember that sometimes that traitoring spirit is not actually the person. It's just that there is this hunger in them to experience, and sometimes the enemy can get attached. And we just got to be bold and go, Jesus' name, go. We will never demonize the person. Ever. So we need discernment, 100%. But also need to be in a place of going, I'm not going to control this. And my heart is that none of us become spectators. Karen, can I just get you just to just choose some track that we've had this week? And yeah, that's right. We've probably played about 500 and it's been awesome. The reason I'm doing this rather than calling the worship team up is that I want everyone to be participating in this moment if you choose to. And please know there is no judgment, no pressure. But I want to come together and I want to worship. And I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just minister to our hearts together. And it won't be the last time we do this. I want this to be a part of our culture. That we become so immersed in Him that we can't help leak Him when we go out these doors. That we become so marinated in His love that I can't help loving the unlovely. Michelle and I were invited into a really tough situation this week. And we just sat with his family and we loved them. And they walked out the door and I said some pretty tough things. And he said, man, I'm glad to have someone like you in my life. Someone like you and Michelle that just love us and are not scared to challenge us. This guy doesn't know Jesus yet, but he's on the journey. It's beautiful. Father, I just pray that you will just give us an open heart to just come before you and allow you to minister to our hearts. Sondi, do you just want to share anything that this has meant for you or what you believe God is saying through this?
All week I've been asking God what to pray and I have no idea how to paint a dam. Are you allowed to say damn in church? So what he said was, the dam's about to burst. The dam's about to burst. And that's all I've got all week. And so that's what I'm painting. But I was about to paint fountains springing up from other places too, because it's not just the dam. It's everywhere.
Who's blessed by that? The dam's about to break. The Lion of Judah is roaring. What you going to do with the invitation? He wants you a part of it. I want to say this morning, if there is anyone in this house that has never made a decision to follow Jesus, if you have never actually bowed the knee and said, Jesus, I make you Lord, can I invite you that today is the day of salvation? He wants you to know you're loved. He wants you to know that your sins are forgiven.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.